name is Promise, and you are listening to Redivine. Thank you for being here. On today's episode, we are talking about God. We are redivining God. So please enjoy. What is God? So my definition of God is that God is all there is. God is all there is. All of it, the good, the bad, the in-between, everything that ever will be is God. God cannot be created nor destroyed. God only changes forms or only express itself in different forms. I remember understanding this idea, or it came through, and I took a piece of paper, and I kept on cutting it into pieces. It became smaller and 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 smaller. But it was just there. And that's the idea of God, that it will change form, but it will always be there. Like energy, yes, energy is God, essentially. But that's just not God, not only energy. Everything is God, because the basis of everything is energy. That is true. So the basis of everything is God, but even the bigger part is God. The smaller part is God. So that's what God is. And I now come from, I feel very fortunate that I can understand different ways of connecting with God. Sorry about those giggles, my little children around. So that is my idea of God. It took me a long time, I must say, to come to this understanding. And over the past, I'll say 5 years or so, I've settled into including all in God. Including all meaning the good, the bad, the really good and the really bad, all belongs to the Creator, because it was all created under God. And although, you know, we still choose how do we want to live, how do we want to express godliness, and then we choose maybe to follow that which has less consequence, because everything has consequence. That's just the laws of God, or the laws of the world, of the universe, of how it goes. So what you bring out always have a consequence, and that consequence can be have good, can benefit you good or bad. Either way, it will always have consequence. So I see that, yes, everything was created by God, but everything has different consequence. So me choosing to abide by the laws of the Lord, when they say fear the Lord, I take it as fear the laws, really, is I am conscious with my choices, because I am very much aware that we reap whatever we sow, so it will all come back to me. Okay, so I will not address why is there a God, because I think that is the mystery of life, and life will always have mysteries, and mysteries are beautiful to keep us living. Really, we need the mysteries that was intertwined into life. Not everything is obvious. There's this mystery about the world, really. So I don't know why there's a God, but I've came up with ideas. You know, God had to express itself and see what God is, because without creation, if it was just mute, it wouldn't know that it's God. It wouldn't know all that it can, all the potential that it has. So this energy, this godly force, had to create for it to be able to express its godliness. So that is my idea why there is a God. But of course, sometimes I go beyond that, but like what was there before it and stuff, and it just gets very tricky, and I wouldn't advise anyone to go there. It leaves me very dry and not knowing what is. So I accept and allow the mystery of it all, and allow not knowing and being comfortable with not knowing. That is a quality. But today I want to focus mostly on how do we incorporate the essence of God in our lives and use it to benefit ourselves, because it's there to benefit us, I would say. It has benefited me a lot just to be conscious of God and to incorporate it and to take time for God. It has benefited me quite a lot. On my previous few episodes ago, I mentioned that if you are able to submit to something bigger, you are able to cultivate womanness in you, to cultivate that power, really. And I was referring to God, of course, the first thing. And I think that's what I will be touching on mostly, because submitting, yes, we can be aware of God, but we cannot include it or submit to it or think, okay, yeah, it's God, so what? But the true impact comes when we include it in our lives and submit to that power and recognize that we were created, we are small, we are created, and there's a creator, and we're made by this person, we submit to them. I see it in the same way as we would honor and respect our parents. But this is much, 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 obviously much bigger. But it starts there, very small, just honoring your parents and submitting to them in terms of they're big and you're small. And you thank them for your life. And even if that's all you can thank for them for, even if they didn't do anything for you, maybe they, you had to be raised by other people. They were awful parents, because there is awful parents out there. By awful, I mean they wouldn't do the basic of providing, and because parents give and children receive, that's how it should be. Sometimes that's not possible, and whether it's their choice or not, if that didn't happen, there's still one thing we can thank them for, which is our lives, because they gave us that. So and that is a big part of it, because you're alive. So them thanking them just for life trains us to be able to put something bigger than ourselves. It makes us to be able to take steps to go to God, or to see God as something that we should be thankful for, because that is where life came from, the earth, everything came from. So we acknowledge that as something bigger. But in my life, there was a lot of other things that were evident that there's something bigger that is taking place in my life that I need to be grateful for, or aware of, at least to be aware of and to be thankful, to give thanks and grace to it. Coming from a Christian background, at home we were Christians, and my father had an idea of what God is, and that was that, and nothing else was God. And I rebelled against that because it was too boxed in. Not because I thought there was no God, but because I thought that cannot be the only way that God is, because if there's an option for everything else, to every other forms of God to be expressed, then definitely it cannot just be one part that is God. So I rebelled quite a lot. As soon as I left home, I did it my way. Even while I was a teenager and stuff, I reached out with other ways of finding God, really. And I think that was the most fortunate thing I had done for myself, to expose myself into different things, different ways of going to the divine love, to God, whether it was through being interested in other religions. I was so interested in Islamic, and I had mentors as Islamic women who guided me beautifully, especially as a new wife and as a young mom, and their wisdom literally shaped me to understand the greatness of Allah and the task that I was given as a homemaker. You know, when I listened, I started going to I don't know how they call them again, a Jewish, it's not a priest, oh my God, anyway, and they would guide us. It was a group of us about finances, and especially I started businesses back then. I started a new business, and I was being guided in a more Jewish perspective, and I appreciated that. And it didn't stand there. The new age wave, I kind of also went in with it. And I saw all of those things as like tools that I was putting into my toolbox. So it wasn't like, oh, now I'm hopping into the ship and everything else is false. Or, you know, yeah, I know you guys are wrong, these ones are right. No, it was like everyone has a nugget of gift for me that I can use to better my life, to richen my life. And I think nowadays, whenever I hear someone say, you know, this one is wrong or that one is right, or like, I don't even feel judgment for them or think, no, you shouldn't box yourself. No, I just think, you know, maybe that's how you should be seeing it now. That's what you need to go through right now, and that's okay. And I can have that empathy for whatever walk of life people choose, and I can also choose to include it all because I see the benefit of it all. And there is benefits, and there's that which wouldn't benefit me, but I don't take that which doesn't benefit me. I take that which does benefit me. And I think that is the essence of God, because in everything there is God, like everything. So what is beneficial to you is what you then take. And I think when I sit down and I communicate with God, yes, I do that. I speak with the divine consciousness within me. And it took a while for me to quiet my mind enough for me to hear, to listen, and to it's very few words that will come from me, but it will mostly be listening the guidance. Some people call that intuition or gut feeling, I guess. Maybe you will go to someone else to do that for you, to be a clairvoyant or a medium, etc. But we all have that in us, because we all have that God. We all came from God, so we all have that essence. So it's just a matter of how much can we quiet down ourselves to hear the voice. And when we do hear it, how much can we allow ourselves to trust the goodness and the divinity of what is coming up. With that being said, not only goodness can come up, of course, and there's a lot of other things that we get influenced by, and there's a lot of other spirits or factors. Like I said, it's all God, but it all would not benefit us. So we need to find that which is beneficial to us. With that being said, I think there's steps to make this very rich connection to God. Step one is to find a basic way of believing, and by basic I mean maybe a religious sector, or maybe whether it's New Age or African spirituality, like meaning worshipping your ancestors or honoring your ancestor, whatever it can be. But find something to step two would be to allow, not allow, but accept that there might be or there is other ways to connect to God or to have a spiritual path. I mean, that is a fact. If you look around in the world, there's so many people and we all have different other ways to connect to something that is bigger than us. So just accepting that your path is not the only righteous and true path that there is and everything else is nonsense. No, but accepting that, you know, maybe, you know, some people are also loved by God. So maybe they're not all so wrong. And I know that it's very difficult, especially within the religious sectors. Like, there's always this us versus them thing going. You know, you are bad, we are better, etc. But we need to remove ourselves from that red race, I would say, for us to truly connect to not just God, but to other human beings. To really connect with other human beings, we need to stop that us versus them fight, whether it's religious, whether it's male, female, or cultural, or whatever other thing we can try and box ourselves in. So that would be step two. And my God, this is not an easy thing to do. I know that. I know a lot of people would hop from one walk of life to another. You know, they'll say, I was a Christian, but I realized it was wrong. And now I'm Islamic. And then now I'm not. I think that's wrong. And now I'm a New Age believer. And every time they'll think the previous one was wrong. And I think that is such a shame, because you could take whatever you got from the other ones, because clearly for it to even catch you, there must be something that was meaningful enough to make you even consider yourself as an Islamic or as a Christian. So you can take that to whatever else you want to now experience, right? So if we're able to open our mind just a little bit to accept that, you know, maybe there's not just one truth. Maybe there's different other truths in the world, you know. There's not just my truth or my religious church or Islamic truth. That maybe there's other truth. And baby step. It's not going to be an easy thing to do. That will be step two. And step three, it will be to start seeing as all those things that are put in the world, like whether it's religion, New Age, African spirituality, or shamanism, all of those things, they are tools. They are tools to kind of govern us, but also to help us connect to that which is bigger than us. And they're not the only thing that is, but they are tools. Because even you can listen to someone preach, you can listen to me guide you or tell you about God, etc., but the only person that could hear the truth of what God wants for them, it's you. It's the individual, and each individual has to connect to the divine themselves. Yes, we can find help to help us to sharpen ourselves and our senses. And some of us will never get to have that connection. We'll never get to establish it. But that will be the goal, to try and establish that connection ourselves. Yeah. Okay, so step three, realizing that they're all tools. You know, I like to see it. This is what actually a teacher of mine said to me when a few years ago I was starting with the constellation course, which is to be a facilitator. And I have heard previously someone telling me that the constellation started from South Africa, from the Zulu clans, where Bert Hellinger stayed there as a priest and kind of learned ancestral work from the Zulu people. And I am Zulu, and I thought, okay, but I'm not getting it. I saw how it is. I think it's amazing. I mean, that's why I'm studying it and stuff. But I still was like, I don't get, how is that from us? Because African spirituality, you know, it's not that, like, I don't get it. I see similarity, but I don't get it. And my teacher said to me, well, promise, this is not, it's not everything, that he didn't learn all of that from just African spirituality. African spirituality is one of the roots. There's other roots. There's the religious roots, because he was a priest. There's psychotherapy. He was a psychotherapist. There's the root of that. There's a root of Asian perspective, Buddhism, etc. So there was different roots that then made this constellation work to be what it is. And that was it. I knew that, okay, for things to even thrive like that, it is taken from different roots. Most plants, and I'll say almost 99% of plants, always have a lot of roots to go fetch the water and the nutrition from the soil, right? And we all could use different roots that we have. It seems like most of us, we use just one root to gather nutrients from the spiritual world. Would use whatever root our parents might have planted. Maybe it's because you are a Catholic Christian and you would use just that one root. And yet we have so many roots that we can be using to draw in all this nutrition to make us more fulfilled and to enrich ourselves, right? So that is it. We are going to use all of our roots. Use all the things that are out there as toolbox and take that which is in line with us. Don't go into, let's say, African spirituality and think, I don't want to slaughter goats, so this is nonsense. But there's more to it than slaughtering goats. You know, there is connecting with people that have lived before you. There is so many other aspects of it that is beautiful and that is worth paying attention to, because then you're including more into your toolbox. You're using more roots that you have. I feel like I'm getting off topic with this root idea, but I think you get the picture. Okay, so step four would be to establish or to start connecting with the divine love or the divine God that governs it all. And that will mean to understand that this divine God includes it all, even the bad, like even the really, really bad. Maybe the things that you think are unspeakable, like, you know, that are really, really bad, but that all came from the divine God. It was all created. You know, I always laugh with my husband when he says, you know, we must get organic things, or, you know, like things that are more natural or from Mother Earth. And I think everything is from Mother Earth. Everything is from here. Some things have less manipulation, meaning human manipulation, or they have more human manipulation. And you know, one is not bad or good, just depends of what the consequence is of using the one that is mostly manipulated or the one that is not manipulated, right? So everything came from Mother Earth. So really the idea of we need things only that are from Mother Earth, that are organic, that are natural. Everything is natural. We're just saying things that are not manipulated by humans as much as things that are with less manipulation. And as a formulator, I make skincare and hair care products. I had to really learn a lot about that, because I'm always looking for ingredients with as little manipulation as possible. And sometimes I have to admit that, you know, manipulation is not a bad idea. That's how we managed to build societies, because we were able to manipulate nature or to change things and to not just use them raw. With that being said, using things raw is still with much better consequences than things that are more manipulated. Anyway, we're off topic. Connecting with God and realizing that God is all there is, and all of it comes from God. Even the evil, even the good, the ugly, the in between, everything came from God and everything was a divine plan of God. And when we start criticizing or saying this one is not godly or this doesn't deserve the word God in it, we start putting judgment in the creator itself. And maybe that's okay, you know, sometimes we are allowed to see the consequence of things and to place judgment, but we should be aware, who are we really placing judgment on? Because we're not placing judgment onto the thing, but onto the person, into the thing that created that, essentially. So once we connect to that which is God in that sense, then we can be able to move to step 5, which is using God to benefit ourselves in our own life, listening to God and really sitting down and listening to what God has. What is that divine plan? And trust me, there's always different paths. There's always different parts of God that would want to show up, and some of them, they don't have really good consequence. They will take in different path that you might have wanted to go in different on another path. So that's why we need to be very attentive to what is this that I want, and what is the advice that I'm getting? Is that aligning? And you will know from within if it's aligning or not. And whenever I've told people this, especially my friends, to say promise, but when I sit down, God never talks to me. At least idea of God is just not there, because there's so many just nonsense going in my voice that no one ever talks. And I think, yeah, because the chatter will always go on in our heads, and that's just how it was, how we were designed, unfortunately. But there is manipulation that we can do to quiet the chatter, like meditating, praying, like really going into a prayer state, readings, taking a long walk that is quiet, and you know, just breathing fresh air. There's a lot of things we can do to quiet down our minds, and our minds now, unfortunately, they're always stimulated via cell phones and the internet. So even just switching that off and just sitting quietly and listening and let the chatter come and go and not hold on to it or follow up with it, but letting it come and go, that is helpful to help us to quiet down and to end up listening to that which is more prominent, or that which wants to come. And that which comes from God, you will immediately know. You would know that, okay, this is something bigger. This is something higher than myself that is now coming through me. And that will be the connection that you would have to nurture. Unfortunately, it will not just be there forever. You would have to constantly nurture and constantly keep connecting to and watch your life, as it will, I promise you, it will literally bloom to the better. It will bring such fulfillment within yourself and such love and understanding to the rest of the human beings. Truly, you would start having love for your fellow brothers and sisters on the earth, and realizing that we were all created under the same sun, and we all breathe the same air, created by the same creator, and essentially we're all just children of God. And the best thing that you could do to your fellow siblings, even when they really, really are annoying, is to always know that I'll always love them. I love them from the bottom of my heart. And that's how I feel when, you know, life gets so hectic and I feel like, oh, human beings can just be so annoying. But I remember that, you know, they are here with me under this earth, under the sun, and we are rotating on this earth. And they're here with me, they're my fellow brothers and sisters and my company, so they have to be here for me to even exist. I wouldn't want to be alone. So I have love and compassion for all of them, really, and everyone that crosses my path. I'm able to tap into love for them in whatever sense, meaning the idea of hierarchy also goes, truly, because it doesn't matter if you are speaking to a homeless person on the street or to someone who's, I don't know, considered highly. Who would that be? I don't know, maybe a president, I guess. There's still gonna be compassion there. I've gathered so much wisdom actually from homeless people. I have a strong bond relationship with the man who's been homeless now for a couple of years, I think maybe 15 years. His name is Willem, and I've learned so much from him. He is so wise, and he chooses to be in the streets because he doesn't want to live in the society, and that is perfect for him. So I accept that, and I help where I can. When I cook, I bring him food, bring him some cigarettes, whatever he might need. But we sit as human beings. I sit down with him, and I sit down on his little tent or whatever. He makes crystal jewelry. He would explain all the crystal. He would carve them in front of me. A lot of other people would come and go in the tent, and everyone now knows me. And yeah, we'll just have this beautiful connection. And he was the first one to tell me that I'm gonna have my first son, which was 4 years ago. And he told me, "You are with child," before I could even know. I don't even think I have conceived by then. I think it was still probably in the spirit world. But he knew that, and 6 weeks later I was six weeks pregnant. So he's been such a beautiful part of my life. And many more people that are, you know, they have their houses, they have whatever, but they have such impact into my life. So seeing people in that respect really helps me to connect with them, because I have friends that are Muslim, friends that are Jewish, friends that are Christian, that I can be able to sit down with them and we talk about Jehovah, we talk about the Christ consciousness, or we talk about the Prophet Muhammad and Allah. How I can be able to be to connect with people and to find that divine gift in them for me. Oh, that'll be it. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in today. This was a long one, but I thank you anyway for being here, and I hope this was fruitful to you, and thank you again.